You shouldn't watch that TV show.
This is Maria.
You shouldn't listen to that music.
She's remembering the way she used to communicate with her husband.
You shouldn't drive that fast. You could change lanes now.
Does this sound familiar?
You know, you really should do your Bible study. It's just endless.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Welgemuth, co-author of True Woman 101, for Wednesday, June 28th, 2017. Today, we're returning to the series, The Power of Words. Here's Nancy teaching a group of women.
Well, over these last days, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, and we've been seeing how something as small as our tongues can create incredible damage. We've looked in the book of Proverbs at a lot of wrong uses of our tongue. And I just want to highlight some of those here by way of review and reminder. We've talked about lying, the sin of deception and lying, about slandering, about gossip, about too much talking, constant talking, idle chatter. We've talked about giving false witness. Proverbs talks about the sin of mocking with our tongues. It talks about harsh words, rough words. And then perverse words, words that are corrupt or evil, profane words, careless words. We didn't hit this in this series, but another thing Proverbs talks about is a whole area of boasting with our tongues. And another area we didn't touch on is the area of quarreling. Quarreling words, argumentative words, contentious words. And by the way, lest we forget, Proverbs reminds us that a husband would rather live in a corner of the rooftop or go out and live by himself in the wilderness than have to live with a woman who's got a contentious spirit and a contentious tongue. The whole area of nagging, it can drive men away. It can drive them nuts. And often we do that with our tongues. Proverbs talks about a foolish person using flattery, flattering with their words, ignorant words, foolish words. And oh my, as we've spent these days walking through the book of Proverbs, we've been convicted. We've confessed our sin. We've said, Lord, it's me. Forgive me. I see that mirror of your word has exposed my heart. It's shown me the sinful ways I use my tongue. We've seen that these sinful types of speaking are connected to a sinful heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths speak. And so we've cried and we've prayed and we've shared and we've asked the Lord to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our tongues. And we want to make sure that we're not just avoiding wrong uses of our tongues, but that we're also using our tongues in ways that are right and wholesome and good. During the series, one of the women said, in between one of the sessions, she said, I've been thinking about maybe taking a week-long fast from speaking, a fast with my tongue. And that may not be a bad idea. I shared with you how I did that for about 40 hours, except when I broke it to talk to myself. I lost control there. But, you know, you can't go forever and not talk. And God doesn't intend we should go forever and not talk. God intends for us to use our tongues in ways that give life, that build up, that edify and encourage. And Proverbs has given us a lot of insight into appropriate ways to use our tongues, to speak words that help, words that encourage, words that express wisdom. To speak words that are few, but that are appropriate, and they're well-timed. Words that are fitting, words that are kind, words that are true. One area we didn't touch on, but it's stated through the book of Proverbs, is using our tongues to speak wise rebuke. Now, that's a double-edged sword, because often when we're giving a rebuke, we're sure it's wise, but the person who's receiving it may not be so sure that it's wise. And we need to make sure before we do give rebuke to others, if it's to your children or it's to a fellow church member or somebody at work, we need to make sure, first of all, that we've dealt with the issue in our own heart that we may be blind to. We may be seeing blatantly in someone else's life what is not so obvious to us in our own lives. And then when we do rebuke, it has to be with a spirit of humility, with a spirit of meekness. But there is a place for loving, wise, kind rebuke. Proverbs talks about the beauty of a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And God used that verse in my life not too long ago to speak to me about having an ear that responds to wise rebuke. You can't talk about the tongue without talking about the ear. So if we're going to be giving wise rebuke, we need to make sure that we're listening to wise rebuke as God brings that into our paths. And Proverbs talks about defending the cause of the helpless with our tongue, words that are carefully chosen. I have to tell you, one of my greatest fears about being in public ministry, about teaching the Word of God, is the danger of sinning with my tongue even while I'm speaking. While I'm speaking to others, while I'm teaching the Word of God. Because Proverbs tells us where there are many words, sin is inevitable. And I know that the more I speak, the more likely the chance that I will sin with my tongue. That's why I try to take time to prepare. That's why I write a lot of notes, because I know that when I get to speaking off the cuff or without thinking, that I will be more likely to say something that is not wise or is not prudent or appropriate. Now, as we've seen the right uses of our tongue and foolish uses of our tongue from the book of Proverbs, let me just give several concluding suggestions from the Word of God about what to do with what we've learned and what we've seen. First, and always the first step, is as God shows us the issue in our heart, is to repent, to confess the ways that we have sinned with our mouth, not to focus on how others have sinned against us with their tongues, but to focus on what God has shown us. And then ask God to purify your heart. Ask Him to cleanse it, because as you have a pure heart, you will speak pure words. And then the third principle is to fill your heart with the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 tells us that every word of God is pure. So if my mind and my heart are filled with the Word of God, then when I get pushed or shoved or squeezed, what's going to come out? It's going to be pure words, the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 tells us that the Lord gives wisdom. You want a wise heart? You want a wise tongue? Where are you going to get that wisdom? From the Lord. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs talks about having a mouth of knowledge, speaking wisely and knowledgeably. Where do you get true wisdom and knowledge? You get it from the Lord. So fill your mind, fill your thoughts, fill your heart with the Word of God. I just tell you, if you're spending your time listening to the world's television programs, reading the world's magazines, reading the world's books, filling your life with input from the world, you're going to talk like the world. That's why I needed to get up early this morning before we were together for this day and to get into the Word of God and let it saturate my mind and my heart, let it cleanse me, let it wash me, let it fill me, so that by God's grace, when I speak today, it will be words of wisdom. And then number four, we need to guard our mouths, to set a watch, a bodyguard, a tongue guard, a mouth guard. We need to ask God to guard our tongues and to guard our hearts. And I have prayed many times over the years that God would guard my heart by the power of His Holy Spirit. He can keep a watch even when I'm forgetting to keep a watch. But I also need to guard my own tongue. God's not going to do it without my cooperation. Proverbs 13 tells us, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Guard your mouth. Proverbs 21, verse 23, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." And you know, I think we can help each other with this lovingly, graciously. When we get on a roll, we're in a group conversation and there's too many words being said, too many things being said that are out of bounds. We need to learn how to graciously and lovingly bring ourselves back in and then even be used to bring others back in to a guarded position. There's a verse that's not in the Proverbs, but it's in the Psalms that I'm going to challenge you to memorize and to make a part of your life. Psalm 141, verse 3. It's a prayer. I've prayed it many times, and I found myself in preparation for this series praying it again. Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." If I were you, I would write that verse down on a 3x5 card, on several of them, and I'd put one next to the telephone. Now I have a lot of phones in my house, so I'd need a lot of those. And as you get on the phone, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Put one in your bathroom where you get ready in the morning. Put one at your nightstand. Put one in your car before you go to a meeting, before you go to an appointment, before you have lunch with a friend. Pray this prayer. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And Scripture says if you guard your mouth and you get the Lord's help in guarding your mouth, you will keep your soul from destruction and trouble. And then ask God to make your words wise and kind. Wise and kind. One of my very favorite verses in the book of Proverbs comes from chapter 31, Proverbs 31, verse 26. And this is one other verse I would encourage you to memorize. It's talking here about the woman of virtue. And it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Would your family say that that verse describes you? Would the people in your workplace say that that verse describes the way you talk? Would they say, that woman, just whenever she opens her mouth, what comes out is so wise? And whenever she speaks, even if she's giving direction or instruction to her children, she's laying down the law, it's still with kindness. She's a wise and kind woman. That's the kind of woman I want to be. Now, I'll tell you, it doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. And by the power of the Holy Spirit controlling us, filling us, we can become women who have wise, kind hearts and speak wise and kind words. What a gift for you to give to your family. What a gift for you to give to your husband, to give to your children, to give to your roommate, to give to your fellow workers, to give to those you go to church with, those in your neighborhood, your friends. A wise and kind heart, out of which flow wise and kind words.
Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth has been showing us how to offer kind, gracious words to those around us. One of the women in the audience has been learning a lot in this area, and we're going to hear her story. Here's Maria.
Just a few weeks ago, the Lord challenged me that I am not my husband's mother or teacher, but that I am to be his servant and learner. That he had given my husband a mother, and she's a precious, godly mother, and he had given my husband a teacher, and he is the Holy Spirit. And that was real news to me. After being married 32 years, this was such a change. And I shared with Nancy how when I went to him the day the Lord had convicted me, and just the day before, he had eaten a whole dish of candy watching one of the playoff games. And I just fussed and said such mean things like, you should have just poured the sugar bowl in your mouth and it's going to rot your teeth. And, you know, even a mother shouldn't say it quite like that. And the Lord so convicted me. And I said, you know, I was so wrong, Al. I said, would you please forgive me? And he turned to me and his mouth went, and then I said, and please be patient with me because it's taken me 49 years to get here, and I'm a slow learner. And then I put a little card in my bathroom quoting the verse that says, wait quietly or silently on the Lord alone because my expectation is from Him. And a note, Maria, please stop strangling Al and your children with your expectations. And my little daughter that's at home, that's 21, has already said, Mom, have you seen the difference in Dad the last few weeks? Because she knew what I was struggling with in obeying the Lord. And she said, you know, even Daddy's prayers are different. And then a few days later, she said, Mom, did you notice how Daddy is smiling more? So God is good. And we can still learn.
Maria, what are some of the other practical areas where you found yourself being tempted to be your husband's teacher?
You shouldn't watch that TV show. You shouldn't listen to that music. You should park up there. You shouldn't drive that fast. You could change lanes now. You know, you really should do your Bible study. It's just endless. And this is just a few weeks. It's not even been quite 6 weeks, and I am just amazed.
Have you faced a situation yet where you didn't say anything and he didn't catch it and he's still doing something that as a mother or a teacher you wish he wouldn't, how do you handle that?
I go outside, I go in the bathroom and pray. But I'll tell you, it just took a couple of times for the Lord to show me very quickly the difference in him because of the difference in me. And the secondary thing the Lord is showing me is that so often he speaks to those under authority before he speaks to those in authority. And what I was doing to my husband was not allowing him, he is the leader because it's a God-appointed position. And I was just usurping that all the time and just deflating his confidence. So it was a twofold conviction there for me. So as I started showing respect by ways of not interrupting, not adding to his story when he's talking, not correcting him in front of other people, then he began to feel validated and accepted as that leader and has just been acting like a leader like I always want him to be. He is the leader, but I just was usurping that.
Amen. I challenged a woman who's in a difficult marriage. I challenged her to a 30-day commitment. I said, I want to ask you to do two things for 30 days. One is negative, the other is positive. First of all, for the next 30 days, you've got to commit yourself not to say one negative thing about your husband. Not to him, not to anyone else about him. Not to your mother, not to your children, not to your friends. Not one negative thing about your husband. You should have seen her eyes. She had gotten into a bad habit, which so many of us have in our homes, of picking on the things about her husband that bothered her. And I'm not saying they weren't, probably things that would have bothered me, probably would have bothered you. I'm not saying they're not problems, but she'd been picking on those things, and she'd come to the place where she could only see her husband through those glasses of failure. He couldn't do anything to please her. And I knew enough about the situation to know that he had issues, she had issues, but there were qualities in both of them that were worth admiring. She'd lost sight of those, and maybe he had too. I can't speak for him. So I said, 30 days, can't say anything negative about your husband. She swallowed hard, and she had come to the place where she really wanted God to change her. If she hadn't come to that place, I don't think she could have received this suggestion. She'd come to the place where she was willing to lay down her own program for changing her husband. She was desperate. And I said, now here's the other part of the 30-day challenge. Every day for the next 30 days, you need to say something that you appreciate about your husband. Say it to him and say it to someone else about him. Well, that was even more of a challenge in some ways because it had been a while since she'd been thinking that way. I said, every day, think of something you appreciate about him. I said, if you can't think of 30 things, think of one thing and repeat it every day for 30 days. And verbalize it to him. Tell him what you appreciate. And tell someone else what you appreciate about him. I said to her what I'm saying to you. I said, I can't make you any promises about what will happen to him within the next 30 days. But I could promise her, and I can promise you, that you will be different in 30 days. Why? Because you'll be seeing that man through eyes of love. The kind of love that never fails. According to God's word, you can learn to love. And there is that supernatural source of love that is within you if you're a child of God. And that means there's hope. Hope as big and as great as the love of God. Love says, what can I let God do in me that will meet the needs of and minister to this person that God has called me to love? Whether I get anything out of it or not, how can I be a giver in that relationship? I'm not going to point the finger anymore. I'm not going to sit here and wait for that other person to change. I'm going to let you change me. And I'm going to let you love through me. And I'm willing to be misunderstood. I'm willing to be wronged. Isn't that what Calvary's all about? Look at 1 Peter 2, the last paragraph. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, did no sin, neither was any deceit or guile found in his mouth. When he was wronged, when he was attacked, when he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't retaliate. He didn't take vengeance. Instead, he just took our sin. He He took the attack. He took the shame. He took the false accusations. And the power in that passage is, by his wounds, undeserved as they were, you were healed. There are men represented in this room who will never be spiritually healed unless there's a woman who's willing to love like Jesus. And that means the willingness to absorb, to take, to carry the sins of others. That's love. You don't have to love that way. You can stay selfish, you can stay proud, and you can stay miserable. Or you can let Christ love through you. Let him fill you with his Spirit. Let him give you a supernatural love for that man. You say, will he change? I can't tell you that. But I can tell you, you will change.
Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been offering women a challenge to encourage their husbands every day for 30 days. Nancy has shared this challenge many times, and we constantly hear from women who have watched amazing results follow. Women like Julie.
It would take more times than I want to take now to give my hundreds of examples where my nagging never worked, and it was always done under the guise of sharing the truth in love. But it's where God stepped in with his timing, and he worked on the father of my children's heart. And I think that's the biggest thing. When I step aside and I allow God to work in my husband's life, and I am his helpmeet, and I encourage him, and I brag on him, and I just, you know, leave it all in God's hands, that if there's any changing that my husband needs to do, you know, God will do that. You know, God would change my heart and make me the wife that my husband needs so that he can be the leader of our family. Prayer is the direct line and a consistent time in his word. And I think that's what the challenge ultimately, you know, showed me. It was a wonderful challenge to do. I would just recommend every woman, even if she thinks her marriage is going wonderfully, to step up and take this husband challenge.
Nancy's offered this challenge many times over the years, and we've heard from so many women who have seen their words transformed. Now we'd like to broaden that challenge, and you can be a part of it. In July, we'd like to send you one email a day for 30 days. Each will include a devotional from Nancy or from author Mary Cassian. These short devotionals will remind you to devote all your words for the day to the Lord. Because everyone is taking this challenge together, starting July 1st, you can interact with others taking it with you and benefit from their experience. In fact, why not invite someone else to go through the challenge with you? To join this challenge, you need to sign up by June 30th. Visit reviveourhearts.com to sign up. Again, the address is reviveourhearts.com. You dummy. One of our listeners often heard that phrase while growing up, and it affected her for years. But God is teaching her to pass on words of patience and kindness.
Just yesterday, I had a situation where I was just trying to make a simple explanation of why I needed to get off the telephone. And I was reminded that I didn't need to share all that information. I didn't need to explain to someone everything that was going on so that they wouldn't think that I was a dummy. I just have great pain because I haven't resolved some of this hurt and issue from my father. Because of that, I have not honored my father. And I need to go to him and ask him to forgive me.
We'll hear her story tomorrow. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants to help you tame your tongue. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.